Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Bob Zimmerman. It is fundraising July for Bob Zimmerman and his website Behind the Black, taking us into low Earth orbit where there's trouble and into exploration of Mars and beyond where there's no trouble, there's great joy. Your generosity, much appreciated, especially $35 or more, gets you corresponding with Bob about trouble in low Earth orbit and the joy of exploring. We're going as far as Ganymede today with Bob, and it's a pleasure to begin this conversation with trouble in low Earth orbit because only Bob can help us understand what this means. NAUCA, also known as Multipurpose Laboratory Module Upgrade from the Russian MLM-U, is a component of the International Space Station. The MLM-U is funded by Roscosmos. In the original space station plans, NAUCA was to use the location of the Docking and Stowage Module, DSM. Later, the DSM was replaced by RASVET module, and NAUCA was moved from Zarya's nadir port to Zvezda's nadir port. I report what I know is that NAUCA is now docked with the ISS. However, Bob, a very good evening to you. In that bland presentation is a lot of trouble I do not understand. Help me, please. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, Wikipedia is not necessarily a great place to go. I know that's what you're quoting from. But NAUCA is the first large module that Russians have added to ISS in two decades. It's also 14 years behind schedule. It didn't actually dock with the Zvezda port of module or docking port. That's incorrect. It docked at a different point, which is where they want to end up having the bulk of their dockings occur. And that will eventually, hopefully, happen on NAUCA, but not quite yet. So NAUCA successfully docked after 8 days of terror for the Roscosmos, because once launched, its engines were not functioning as they were supposed to. So they had to improvise rendezvous with the space station and docking using both attitude thrusters and those engines, and they were having problems all the way through, even including the docking. So it docked. It finally docked. And then a few hours after docked, out of nowhere, suddenly, the main engines of NAUCA started to fire. This is not a minor deal. It's attached to ISS, so it affects the entire station. And, you know, when they do these engine firings, they do a lot of preparation, making sure the station's oriented right, all the equipment's in the right place, and everyone's prepared. And instead, it just went off. And so the station moved. Its orbit was changed. They quickly got those engines shut down and then used engines on a different module to get the station back to the correct orbit. In total, the actual harm was nil. Very little was harmed to the station. In fact, nothing was really harmed at the station. But here you've got NAUCA attached to the station, and the Russians need absolutely to keep it attached because, you know, they want to use it as the docking for future missions, but the docking hub that will be used on NAUCA isn't launched yet. It goes up in November and then docks to its aft docking port and then provides, for five more docking ports for the station. But that's not there yet, so NAUCA only has one docking port that can be used right now. And so they've got to get it, make sure it's operational. Now, they think we don't have a lot of information. We think the problem was caused because of the fuel in NAUCA, because the engines and the rendezvous maneuvers were done in an improvised manner. It apparently arrived at ISS, I think, with more or not the right amount, with a different amount of fuel than they expected. And let me quote Roscosmos. The process of transferring NAUCA module from flight mode to docked with ISS mode is underway. work is being carried out in the remaining fuel on the module. So somehow I think they have to vent that remaining fuel so that it's not there, but maybe instead of venting, the engine fired instead. It's not clear. This has got to get fixed. And at the same time, we've got to understand why it happened. And NASA, in this case, NASA was going to launch on Friday of this week an unmanned test demo, the second test demo of Boeing Starline, a manned capsule. It had done a demo mission 18 months ago, unmanned, and had problems. And so they spent the last year and a half fixing those problems, and Boeing had to do a second unmanned test flight. And it was scheduled to launch at the end of this week and fly up, dock with ISS, stay for a while, and then come back down. Well, they've canceled that launch. They want to know, NASA wants to know what is the situation on ISS before they risk sending Starliner to the station. So that's where we stand. It's a kind of touch-and-go situation. It's not – no one's lives appear to be in risk. But the station's got – both the Russians and the station have a problem because Nauka has got to be safe. It's got to be a reliable module, and right now there's concerns.
We go from low Earth orbit to New Zealand where there's a success. Bob, what is Rocket Lab?
Rocket Lab is the one of the small sat rocket companies, new startups that's actually been launching, was the first to get going. It's been launching since 2017. It's done like 21 launches. Its last launch in May failed. There was a failure in the upper stage, and they spent the last few months figuring out what went wrong, and this week they returned to flight. They launched an American military test satellite. This is a satellite to do technology testing in orbit. There's a small sat, they're not big satellites, but it was a successful launch. And so this gets them off the ground again, and, you know, they have been promising for the last year or so that they would begin to go to monthly or even weekly launches, and they haven't been able to do it because they've had two failures in the last, year. And so they've cleared those failures up, and they've launched, and let's just hope they get themselves going again, John, because there's a lot of competition coming up from behind, and that's going to take their business away if they don't get going.
Part of the competition is Blue Origin, which had a spectacular success with a suborbital launch with the owner and the boss inside. Now we go to Blue Origin building rocket engines. This time, attention to the second stage of New Glenn. What is New Glenn, Bob, and what's the significance of reusability for New Glenn?
New Glenn is the orbital rocket that Blue Origin wishes to launch. It is 2 years behind schedule. The engine for its first stage, the BE-4, has had problems and is still not flight-worthy as far as we know. So whether it will launch next year, as they hope, is still a question mark. But there's a longer-term story here. 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, Jeff Bezos turned operations over at Blue Origin to a CEO by the name of Bob Smith. And at that point, progress at the company seemed to grind to a halt. Well, in the last 6 months or so, Jeff Bezos separated himself from Amazon. He stepped down as CEO there and said he's going to focus his efforts now at Blue Origin. And he then looked at Blue Origin, and he started to ask questions of the senior staffers, I guess, working, including Bob Smith, about making the stages on New Glenn reusable. But he was told, and he asked these questions because he saw what SpaceX was accomplishing. But those management people told him such an approach was unlikely to work. They also said that SpaceX's approach to fail forward method of rapidly prototyping and testing starships with few processes and procedures beforehand would be unlikely to succeed. That's what those staffers told him. Well, it appears he's decided to take their advice. It's what he's done now is he's created a department in his company. He's a project he calls Jarvis. He's essentially walled that project off from those senior management. They have no say in controlling it. And that project is designed to see if they can make the upper stage of New Glenn reusable, as the first stage is supposed to be reusable. This is obviously Bezos' effort to compete with SpaceX because it can make both stages reusable. It makes him comparable to Starship and better than Falcon 9. It also indicates very strongly that he's beginning to have doubts about that management under Bob Smith. It's old school, not very innovative, not very risk-taking, and it's not getting him what he wants. That's, I think, the most important thing here, that if Bezos is taking control and is beginning to move the company back to what it was 5 years ago, risk-taking and moving forward aggressively, then we might see some progress at the company, and I think that's excellent.
What does reusable for the second stage mean? Is it make it cheaper, Bob?
Yeah, absolutely. If you can get, it's like an airplane. It becomes more like an airplane. That's been always SpaceX's goal. Make this fly like an airplane so you can quickly fly again. You know, planes, the way with airplanes, airplane companies, what you want is you don't want that plane on the ground. The more time it's flying, the more money you make. And so if you can make these reusable, you can fly often and quick, and it becomes very cheap, and therefore you get lots more customers. That's the idea. And since SpaceX has been moving towards reusability entirely with Starship, that threatens New Glenn even, because New Glenn, if SpaceX switches entirely to Starship and dumps Falcon 9 in the future, well, then New Glenn won't be competitive because its upper stage won't be reusable. They got to see if they can match SpaceX. And so he's at least now trying, and this is a good thing.
Is NASA talking reusability of upper stages?
NASA is not involved here. This is private enterprise. NASA's not. The only rocket NASA's building is the SLS rocket that isn't going to go anywhere ever in the future and is not reusable. NASA's totally outside the picture here. We have to forget that NASA is irrelevant. This is private enterprise coming up with new ideas.
A German startup is raising money. ISAR Aerospace. I don't remember whether the German Republic got involved. Similar to Luxembourg. Is this new from Germany, or we had this?
I've reported on this with you a few times before, John. What's happened in the last year is that three small companies, startups, are trying to make small sat rockets, kind of like Rocket Lab. And this is a first for Germany. Germany, after World War II, was basically forbidden to make any kind of missile or rocket technology for good reason. People remembered the V-2, and they didn't want Germany to have that kind of power. But a lot of time's passed now, and the European Space Agency, which Germany was a part of, and which France mainly handled the launch operations, there's been a lot of disagreement in that agency about how to get rockets up. And so Germany has started to now free up its private enterprise to build rockets. Now, these are private companies. There's three of them, and one of them seems to be ahead of the other two. This is that one I mentioned. It's ISAR Aerospace. They have raised now about $180 million. They recently raised $75 million, which is what spurred this story. And they're building a rocket that's two-stage. It's going to put up small sats, very comparable to Rocket Lab's Electron. And they're hoping to launch by next year. And so this is just indicating that pretty soon when I list the launch companies and nations that are launching, I'll have to separate in Germany separate companies rather than just Europe all by itself. It's good, son. Good news, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. It is fundraising month, July, for Bob Zimmerman and the exploration of low Earth orbit for space engineering. We're going much beyond that when we come back. We're going exploring in the solar system, discovering water vapor. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.